99.3 Nigeria Info. Morning to you, Lagos, Nigeria. Thank you for joining us. 7:32 from our studios, and we're ready to go. It's Thursday. I'm Sharif Quadri.
I'm Jimmy Disu. Good morning.
Good morning to you. Let's start with the Vanguard. But before we go on, you can watch us on Facebook and you can also watch us on YouTube. Just search for Nigeria Info 99.3. And voila, you'll be here watching us. Let's start with this one on page 6. Three fear dead as RTN rival groups clash in Lagos. Lagos government reads riot act, probes fracas.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, I must say that this development is not unexpected. And you're going to have more of this. The video went viral yesterday. What I saw, I couldn't believe. Young urchins with cutlasses, with whatever. And then I could swear that I saw some, sorry, I use that word, that I saw some policemen on the side, you know, by the vehicle. Because there is an assumption and there is a feeling that the state has endorsed, which is sad, that the state as a corporate body has endorsed these union clashes based on some things that they have done. I mean, a Lagos state government official recently appointed GM of the PACS and what do you call it now?
PACS Management Committee.
PACS Management Committee. He's a Lagos state government official. In a video that went viral when he was accused, he felt that people said that they were selling stickers and so on and so forth. A Lagos state government official appointed by this government said, and I quote in Yoruba, anybody to buy less sticker and no one was station. That means he gave a directive that they should be beaten, right? If you apprehend them and beat them. That is from a Lagos state government official. The romance and whatever political alignment between the state and these union bodies has given some kind of endorsement that, or what kind of endorsement that, that you know, they're free to do what they own the land, they're free to do whatever it is. And I think it is sad. Because we had earlier on cautioned the government about their, I know about the association with these groups and the stand that they are taking. Everything you do in government, in life generally, always has a ripple effect. This is just the tip of the iceberg. I hope that when politics, well, the campaigns have started now, I fear for what we have going forward. And I think it is sad. Just yesterday, to be fair, I mean, I'd like to talk about this, put things in a balance. The government, the APC government for 20 whatever years, have done fairly well in between all the various governors that they, you know, they have put forward. But these have been marred by an open association with people who you would normally say might have one or two questions to ask. You know, and I'm talking in Proverbs now, but I'm sure all of you, everybody understands what I'm saying. We cannot allow these people run the streets. The government seems to have handed over the streets to these people. You need to see that video that went viral to get a feeling of what I'm talking about. And then you have the usual excuse. If you knock them off the right of the road, where do you put them? But if you don't knock them off the road, they're going to continue to multiply. They are going to continue to multiply. And I don't think that if you have a themes agenda and you have, you know, the aim of turning Lagos into a mega city, you can't hand over your streets to union members and urchins and say that, you know, I'm lay any credit for any development. This is what has led to this. And we are going to plead with the government and indeed the party to do a rethink of their association with these bodies. That is if the horse has not already bolted. You know, so it's very sad. It was a gory sight. And I hope that this is not replicated during the political period that we have. Having said that, there was an emergency meeting yesterday with the faction of the group, the special advisor to the governor, and he called on the warring faction to cease their assaults or face the dire consequences as police have been alerted and directed to arrest anyone caught disturbing the peace, tranquility of the state. Statements like that always make me laugh. Do you need to direct the police to do his job? But what we saw in the video yesterday, it didn't show. In fact, as it is now, some of these people, some of their leaders even have police escorts. What are we talking about here? Giwa said that the government had commenced full investigations into the fracas at Ojo Asulere of the state with a view to prevention of breakdown. I hope the government takes this advice in good faith, because everything is so sensitive now, but in good faith. And I hope our people resist this new development as much as they can, legally.
Mm, indeed. Let's go to page 8 from page 6. BASA doesn't obligate CBN to provide Forex for repatriation, Emefiele.
This is laughable. In giving an excuse for not providing funds for airlines to repatriate their proceeds, Emefiele now suddenly remembers that BASA doesn't obligate CBN to provide Forex for repatriation. I don't know about the technicalities of these things, but you cannot have airlines in this country. And indeed, foreign businesses. You keep wanting FDIs. You can't have foreign FDIs investing in this country and they can't repatriate their funds. I mean, hey, what are we talking about here? And incidentally, I have it on good authority, it's not just the airlines.
Mm.
Okay, so the airlines have stacked up loads of Naira. CBN, under whatever agreement, has not provided the forex for them to repatriate their funds. And of course, you know what the result is. So the story here says that the CBN governor Emefiele urged home government, now he's moving out of the area of the subject. Okay, he says urged state governments of foreign airlines flying into Nigeria to reciprocate by granting equal landing opportunities to Nigerian airlines to such countries as a means of reducing the demand for foreign exchange. But Emefiele knows that there's no national carrier here. There's no national carrier here. The only airline that would apply for those rights and would have been given is under suspicion by, you know, in another country entirely. I don't want to go into the details, but I'm sure you have a fair idea of what I'm talking about. The promoter of that airline has, I don't know if the trial is still on, has a trial about funds and this and that. And therefore, these people are very, very thorough. They're not going to allow you, if they believe that your airline has been set up, you know, under certain circumstances, surely they won't want to do business with you until, at least at the barest minimum, until they are cleared. So let's stop playing politics. Make these funds available. If these funds are not available, then have other arrangements by which these people can continue their businesses. If you keep talking about FDIs, people must move between countries. Is Nigeria now going to be struck out of the world map? So these excuses keep coming, and unless people know the truth, and then we walk around what is doable, Emefiele is going to have a lot of explanation to do when he leaves the CBN. A lot of explanation. Who provided the money, all this money that is running around all the political parties? How did it happen? The EFCC was there. Even the president was at one of the whatever. Who has all the dollars that are floating around left, right, and center in the black market? What is the account? Who has been allocated Forex on a daily, weekly, monthly, yearly basis? Who are those who have access to these funds? That is the issue. Emefiele should stay out of the politics of BASA and provide funds for these airlines to repatriate their money. And if there's a problem, he should say so and think of an alternative that can keep this going. This is a disgrace to Nigeria. He said, go, try and travel. The last I heard, economy tickets were going for almost 3 million naira. And the idea of upping the fares is to discourage Nigerians. They don't want to pile up naira in the banks, and they can't repatriate it to their countries. Nigerians keep buying. It is very, very sad. It is very, very sad, you know. So let's just get the CBN. Come out, tell us what exactly it is and find a solution to this and stay out of politics. But I saw the owner of an airline, he was putting up an argument about how they've not been given landing rights and so on and so forth. Nigerian airlines have been given landing rights before. I've taken Eric so many times to the United Kingdom. Even Medview were given the rights. They couldn't sustain it. Virgin Nigeria, the same thing.
Let's see with the Vanguard newspaper. Now we are on page 10. My position on 2023 presidency, Olufalai.
It was reported yesterday when it was said that Afeniferi had endorsed Peter Obi yesterday, that Chifolufalaye, you know, also did the same. But today he's issued a retraction, and he says that he has explained his position. Now, I want you to listen to this. In a statement signed by his assistant, Moshood Raji, he said he admitted saying that the Southeast had not been given the opportunity of being Nigeria's president. And he says that the statement reads, although Falaye admitted that he said it was true that the Southeast had not had the opportunity of being Nigeria's president, he never canvassed or claimed to be supporting Peter Obi of the Labour Party. Fair enough. It is his right. And in all honesty, I don't expect everybody to have the same whatever. This reasoning is well-grounded. But I'd like you to listen to the next paragraph. And he says that it should be realized that two of the candidates put forward by the political parties in the country are from the Southwest. How can a national leader go against candidates that hail from his part of the country? And I felt very, very sad. Chifolufalaye had run for president in this country. I thought that he would have a national whatever, a national spirit in him. But if he's saying that, how can he not support somebody from his own region, then I don't agree with such thoughts. And I'd like our elders to please be careful about what we pass on to younger people. Nigerians should be encouraged to vote for the best candidate, whether they come from their part or not. That kind of thinking doesn't work in politics. Well, it might work in certain political whatever, but in reality, it doesn't augur well for our country. So if you had 36 candidates, one from each state, everybody will vote from the candidate from his own state. But if Falaye canvassed the country for votes, when he canvassed votes in the north, when there was another candidate, why did he do that? So it's this statement that I'd like to respectfully disagree with, that the national leader go against candidates that hail from his state. This is parochial. Vote for anybody just because he's your next door neighbor, he's your cousin. If we were all to do that, we would not have one country. And I find that sad from someone who was secretary to the government and also now sought presidential office. We don't want to pass this on to the younger people. Vote for irrespective of where he comes from. Are you telling me if Julius Nyerere should rise from the grave, I would not vote for him to come and fix Nigeria? Of course I would. Look at what is happening in other countries. Obama, whether he liked it or not, was a Kenyan. He's an African. The United Kingdom missed having an Asian born person just by a slip like this. And the world is changing. People need somebody who is going to make their lives better, who's going to make their lives livable. Not to continue to vote for people because they come from your area, when even in your own area, they're subjecting you to things that human beings normally should not be subjected to. So I'd like to add my reaction to that. But then it says that this correction is necessary in order not to mislead the public that Falaye is supporting. Remember that I said he has the right to support anybody that he likes. I'm not insisting he does that. Mm. But this statement that says that how can a national leader go against candidates that hail from his own part of the country? I think that probably, you know, it wasn't well thought out before this statement was written.
How about the position of Pa Adebanjo openly supporting Peter Obi as well?
So what do I think?
Yes.
I align myself with it.
But what's the difference here?
It's this statement here when he says that, I just picked this word, how can a national leader go against candidates that hail from his country?
From his part of the country.
Meaning that, for example, I must feel obliged to vote for a Yoruba man in the election. No. And I don't think it all goes well for the country. If everybody thought like that, where would we be? We need people who have a national outlook. That's what I'm saying. We need elders in the political space to exhibit, you know, that national outlook. And that is where I respect Papa Adebanjo. So, I've had reasons to disagree with him.
That's exactly my point. Like, Papa Adebanjo openly endorsing a candidate. Mm-hmm. Is that a national outlook? Is that a move by someone with national outlook?
openly. No, he said he was supporting the candidate and he gave the reason that he believed that these people have been marginalized, amongst other things.
Again, shouldn't that have been left to the voters, as you said earlier, that the voters should be allowed?
He did not say they should. He did not say voters should vote for him. He said that we will support this man. It's his right.
So what I'm saying is that should he have openly endorsed the candidate if Falaye cannot do that openly?
No, I did not know. You don't seem to get it. It is this statement, let me read it again, that says that how can a national leader go against candidates that hail from his part of the country? I'm saying that kind of reasoning doesn't augur well for national development. That the reason why, because you are not saying that you should vote for somebody who comes from your region. If everybody from the Southwest votes for the candidate, then everybody from the North votes for the candidate. Mm. How do we have a country? That's my argument.
Okay. Let's move on.
No, I'm ready for you.
No, it's okay. It's fine. It's fine. I have my tea, my hot tea here.
No, you don't.
Eh.
That is hidden.
My tea is here.
Philip, I want you to steal this cup.
Okay. You can watch us live on Facebook and on YouTube. Nigeria Info 99.3 is how you can watch. Let's go to the Tribune newspaper. The story reads, Presidency stands on the use of automatic weapons by security outfits betrays current realities.
Akeredolu. This thing is getting, I wish somebody would nip it in the bud. But if you're not careful, you'll go to a full-fledged crisis. So yesterday there was a statement by the federal government, and Akiti has replied. And Akiti has picked holes in the claim of Shehu on the use of AK-47. He says, it is rather suspicious that Shehu elected himself as the spokesperson for the Katsina State government, whereas the Katsina State government has not come out openly to deny the statement of Governor Akeredolu on the use of AK-47. My quick reaction to that is that, yes, it is the federal government, because Akeredolu accused the federal government, okay? So this part is neither here nor there. Hmm. But this is the part that I find quite interesting on Akiti's behalf. He says that that the attempt to justify the use of AK-47 by the vigilantes for training stands logic on his side. He says, the report by the TVC News that went viral showed the Katsina State vigilante training with AK-47. This is the same weapon which approval has vehemently been refused for the use of Amotekunko. The question I ask is this. Akiti needs to find out if the Katsina State vigilante training with AK-47 got an approval. And he should show us the proof. That would help, his case. Okay? Let's do that in the first instance. And Akeredolu also queried the presidency spokesperson on the source of the guns displayed by the Katsina State security outfit. I agree with that. He says, where did the guns come from? Who approved their use? Were the guns returned to the armory after use? First of all, I have to ask where they are coming from before you know whether they were returned. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, the AK-47, as seen on the TVC news report, was about usage. If not, what purpose does training with guns serve? And I agree with Akiti on this. The federal government needs to address this very, very quickly before we have a full-blown crisis on our hands. Because they usually say what is good for the goose is also good for the gander. And I agree with the point we made.
The government tried to address it by saying that pump action guns are not automatic. That's what the directive was against automatic. Now that Akete is saying that what was seen in the video was automatic.
Automatic.
So I don't know where the defense was coming from.
Well, it would be nice if he could get TVC to show us the clips in social media so we can determine if that is what it is. And then the next step is an ICN. It should take them to court.
Hmm. Yes. I think you said it yesterday or so that Akiti too can invite the NSCDC to come and conduct the same.
You can do the same thing
and
take the video to the NSA and show it to him that I want this for my own people and let's hear him say no.
Yeah, exactly. Like let us see where they will now what will
yes.
now happen.
Yes.
Afterwards.
But I also in confronting the government, I also think this is an election year. A bit of caution will come in here. We can't handle another crisis like that if that should happen. But what's fair is fair, really. What's fair is fair.
And I think the government should be seen to be fair, you know, to us.
You know, these are some of the things that you know, to be sympathetic to Tshifala's position, these are some of the things that produce that kind of
sentiment.
Mm. But it's not good for national development.
No, it's not.
It's not. You understand? This kind of thing that, oh, you know, some people are being favored over the other, it's not going to help us as a country. It's not.
Let's quickly move on to page 29 of the Tribune. Controversy trails death of Buka Hot co-founder Laolu Martins.
May Laolu Martins, may his soul rest in peace. I can say that I've been part of Buka Hot way back then. I've been part of the... Now, I'm not a member or anything, but I've been quite close to them. And the circumstances under which this gentleman died, I don't understand. Some said it was medical, some say it was suicide. But I think what is most important is that may he so rest in peace. If there's any need at all, we might, because of the controversy, if the family do feel anything, they might want to have a post-mortem and actually let us know what actually happened.
From what I saw, from the statement I got from the family, they said that the event happened, you know, in the public, full glare of the public at a mall.
But another one said that it happened at 3 a.m.
So that was the one that came out earlier. But the official statement from the family said that it happened at a mall. And I'm hoping that somebody who was present at the mall can attest to that.
If it happened at a mall, it would have gone so much viral, you'd have seen the videos. Right. I'm not denying what the family have said, I'm just saying that if it happened in the open, you see, but I think let's break it down. Mm. Usually, no family would want to admit that anybody, you know, is
on that stigma attached to such a...
We attach stigmas to things rather than look at, you know, the consequences, you know, therein. And I quite sympathize with the family. You understand? Mm. So I think the public should just let it be. Let this man.
I think so too.
Yes, but it calls our attention. It calls our attention either which way to the fact that we all need to place a premium on our health. Whether it happened in the mall, if it happened in the mall, that's health issues. Mm. If it happened, if he killed himself, that's even more. You're now talking about mental health issues. But I think the family, like they rightly said, they have appealed that we should let them grieve. And I think that it stands to reason. I'd like to tell the family that the truth is, the gentleman is a public figure.
Yeah.
Okay, he's a public figure. And therefore, this reaction is not unexpected. And the less controversy, I'd like to advise the family not to make a statement again. Don't make it. Whatever claims anybody makes, just don't bother.
Just leave it.
Just leave it. Mm. We have his children to contend with, his wife, family, and so on and so forth. Give him a nice decent burial and let him rest in peace. May his soul, of Laolu Martins, rest in peace. And to my brother Rashid, who is his partner, I say may his soul, may Allah bless his soul, you know, on the final journey.
Buka Hot are our business partners. So on behalf of Nigeria Info, we'd like to extend our condolences to the entire Buka Hot family. Yeah.
Oh, they're business partners?
Yes, of course.
Oh, okay.
Of course.
Yes.
We do business with Buka Hot on a regular basis.
Okay, I've had an association with them close to 5-6 years.
Oh, my.
Yes.
I mean, there's no gain saying that they've entered the food industry and they've been there. Their map is everywhere. And
definitely. Definitely.
I mean, this is really sad, quite sad.
Quite sad, especially under the circumstances where we can't, we don't know for sure what happened.
Yeah.
But that's where it is.
All right. Condolences once again. Let's go to the Daily Trust before we go. That will be our last story. Please, orderly, stop wasting human resources.
Yes, I like this. I hope you know that Daily Trust is a newspaper with northern leaning.
Yes, that's right.
And we'll always try to see if we can get a copy to have some balance in the news review that we do. And they are talking about how the need for the police to stop this idea, wasting police resources, giving every, I don't want to use every Tom, Dick and Harry, but that's what it is. Police protection, and they give a history here, and they say it is most disheartening that over the years every IG on his appointment would order the withdrawal of police officers from those who are not qualified to have them but the situation has remained the same. And they argue that the practice further erodes the professionalism of the force, as such officers are not exposed to the new ways of policing, just as it creates indiscipline within the force, as those attached to the big men may over time pay more allegiance to their principal than to their superior officers. I think it would, if I were in the police force, like most other, you know, other officers we have there, they'd rather in the first instance be attached to the top job, because those are worth. Did you see the video that went viral about a police barracks in Edo?
Oh, yes, I saw it yesterday.
Could that be for real?
No, I'm not even doubting that. One bit.
Are you kidding
me? There are others that are worse than that.
I will put it on my Facebook page. He'll put it on his.
I saw it yesterday.
Yes, and for you to see.
No, of course.
Gee whiz.
Of course.
I mean, so because when they're attached to these VIPs, they're given accommodation, they're fed three times a day, given about four or five sets of uniform, well taken care of, well fed, well armed, and whatever. Ah, dear.
We have to go.
Yeah.
It's been, What's coming up at 9?
Wait now.
What?
Wait.
As you wait. You're not going to talk about the...
About what? What?
That thing now.
Which thing is that now?
That thing.
The dinner, the lunch.
That thing that you.
I should invite.
That no, for? that thing that.
Which thing?
You told me.
Which one now?
Let's be going. Let's be
the
going.
The one of taking.
I'm
two
just
wives,
pulling your leg.
Inviting two wives to a lunch.
What? Eh? Did you talk about that? No. No. We have to go.
I'll see you at 9.
All right, Lagos. Bye for now. Let's talk about children not speaking on time. It's a part two of that conversation. Stay here. We'll be back.
They don't disconnect your line sick of say you not link your national identification number to your MTN number. Make you not worry.
And I want to assume that you would run because I want to give the listeners context for the conversation.
In 2019, you were running late to Atiku Abubakar. What did you learn then that you will not repeat this time?
Yes, when is the president coming out to address us?
There's a few things. One, I have a burden and a passion for young people.
The fact that you have elected a man does not mean then you begin to order him around. The president will do whatever is good for the country at any given time.
Mr. Adesina, isn't the president responsible to the people?
What should the next president do to root out stakeholders who are complicit?
You fire them. Those that need to be fired are fired.
It's looking like a brand new Chelsea, attacking with so much fluidity. Now, what can you say about that, Martin? I know you follow Chelsea quite closely.
I live close to the Chelsea training ground. That's what you mean by that. I'm not sure.